阅读、科技、旅行，
生活可以很大，对话设计、学习，思考不嫌太多。这里是 iTunes 获奖播客《狗熊有话说》，一听就停不下来的哦。Hello， 你好，这里是独立知识型脱口秀《狗熊有话说》（Bear Talk）， 我是大狗熊。今天这期节目呢，是我在前两周在线分享的一次活动的实时录音。那么在前段时间呢，我和新西兰本地的一位 life coach 人生教练进行了一次公益性质的在线分享。那么主题呢叫做 Strategies of Career Transition Post COVID-19。那么翻译过来呢，就是在新冠疫情之后的职业调整的策略。那么之所以做这样的一个分享呢，是因为在之前的一段时间呢，我收到了很多朋友的一些求助啊，不管是通过社交媒体还是通过邮件，那么有和我发来一些感受，就是说因为这次新冠的影响，特别在新西兰，那么工作受到了影响。我周边呢也有很多的朋友呢，工作受到了冲击，有的人调岗了，有的人呢被裁员了，有的人呢可能这个减薪了，那么都受到了各种形态的冲击。那么这次的冲击呢，其实比我们任何人在事先想象的都要强烈，也要迅猛，而且持续的周期呢也要很长。那么具体的细节我就不在这儿一一再说了。那么很多人问我这样的一个问题，就是说怎么来定位自己的策略。因为之前我在去年这个一月到六月的这段时间呢是没有工作的。那么整个这段期间呢，我从之前的这个市场运营的这样的一个岗位，那么切换到了 UX 设计，用户体验设计师的这样的一个岗位。那么面临着没有本地工作经验语言并不是母语，不能和本地的这个母语是英语的人呢进行直接的竞争，那么也没有在新西兰有学习过这方面的系统的知识。那么我是如何来调整自己的状态，重新来找到工作的？那么很多人问这样的一个问题呢，就引发了我做一次这样的分享。那么和新西兰的奥克兰的一位专业的职业教练叫做陈，那么他沟通之后呢，我们决定这个进行一次以 Zoom 形式全英文的一次在线分享。所以之后呢会给大家放这次活动的完整录音。那么在之前的话，我会用简单的几句话总结一下我这次分享的一些要点，因为如果你感兴趣的话，并且觉得用英文去收听没有任何障碍的话，那么可以继续往下听。如果觉得有一点吃力的话，那么听完前面这一段中文的介绍，大概你也对这次分享的主题有一个了解。那么我定义的自己求职的策略呢，其实简单来说就是四条： Knowledge, Skill, Portfolio, Community，四个英文单词。那么顺着来说一下 knowledge 知识，这个是我们在进行职业切换的时候要进行一个自我的一个梳理。那么第一步呢，就是梳理你对新的自己想要从事的这个职业有没有一个清晰的知识架构的理解。那么这一点呢，其实特别对于要切换到一个新的职业领域的人呢会更加重要一些。因为每个行业呢都有自己的这个主干的知识架构，那么重要的这个概念还有一些关键的流程等等等等都有。那么比如说 marketing 这个市场运营，那么会有一些它具体的这个术语，它的关键的这个知识体系，那么你需要去掌握。那么对于我来说呢，我是切换到一个 UX， 从之前的市场运营切换到 UX， 那么又是在洋人的这个系统里面，那么怎么去学习这个知识呢？ 有不同的方法，那比如说上网络的课程，在学校里学，或者是这个阅读书籍、收听播客、看视频、阅读文章，这些都可以。我个人建议呢，是选择一些相对系统的方法来进行学习，比如说阅读书籍，还有这个上一些网络或者是线下的一些课程。那么这个呢，是知识的储备，这一块储备在职业调整之前最好就要开始进行，那么可以更主动一些。第二块呢叫做 skill 呢是技能，那么这一块呢就直接影响到你在具体的这个新的岗位你的工作的表现，就是你能够产出什么样的东西。那么比如说你说我要从事设计，那么设计的软件你要会用，对吧？那么软件要会用，然后做出来的东西要做什么样的内容要出来，或者你是做一个调查社会调啊、这个用户调查的一个专员，那么用户调查完了以后你要生成什么样的报告，如何如何，那么这些都是我们要了解我们要学习的这个技能 skill。 那么这两项其实都是可以自学的，当然如果能够参加一些短期的培训或者是一些在线的课程、线下的课程的话呢，学习的效果会更好一些，然后呢速度也会更快一些。求职还有两项更关键的策略呢，其实可能会有的人已经模模糊糊的意识到，有的人呢可能还没有意识到的，就是portfolio 案例，还有第四项叫做community 社群或者叫人脉。那么我顺着来说一下这个 portfolio 这个概念呢，其实对于任何行业，只要是从事创意、从事市场、从事销售这个行业的领域呢，都需要有。那么以往大家可能会觉得我找工作需要准备一个简历，然后拿着简历去投就 OK 了。那么简历里面会有一项叫做 experience， 就是经验，对吧？其实我说的这个 portfolio 要比那个经验，就是在简历里面写的那个你的工作经历什么什么的要更详细一些。那么它需要是你以往做的事情的一个完整的一个故事。作为设计师，你需要有具体的案例，也需要有背后的这个描述，你解决了什么样的设计的这个商业上的问题，然后你怎么去验证你的这个假设，你怎么去做出一个测试的这个最小原型去测试你的这个角色，测试成功了以后你怎么去把它完善成为一个完整的一个设计的一个方案。那么这个呢是设计师。那么如果你是做一个运营的人呢，你怎么样去策划一个 campaign， 就是一个营销的一个活动，那么这个活动怎么去设计的，有什么样的挑战，需要调动什么资源，你在其中从事什么样的角色，那么怎么去做呢？这个就是这个 portfolio， 就是你的这些案例的集合。那么案例呢可以叫做 case study， 那么 portfolio 呢其实就是你的作品和案例的这个集合。很多人听到 portfolio 这个词都会觉得就是摄影师呀、广告人呀、这个影视制作人什么的，他需要有这样的一个东西。那么其实错了，每个从事就像我刚刚说的这个创意和市场以及和销售相关的工作的人都需要有这样的一个集合。那么有的人会说我要跨到一个新的行业，我没有从业经验啊，我怎么去获得案例呢？那么我的建议呢是做自己的这个项目 OK。 然后第四项叫做 community， 这个用中文不太容易有一个对应的翻译，中文可能会翻译成人脉啊，可能会翻译成这个社群，但我指的这个词呢 community 呢，它更多就是你首先要有在同业行业里面的这个专业的这些人士和你同行的这种互相之间的连接。那么第二呢是你能够有一些潜在的这个能够帮助你的这样的一些行业里面的达人，那么要有这样的一个社会资源，要有这样的一个资源。那么大家会肯定会有人会问说我现在想跳到一个新的行业，我对这个行业一没有任何资源，一无所知，我怎么去创建自己的 community？ 那么 国内的情况我不太了解，但在国外的话呢，有很多这个行业的聚会，然后有 conference， 有 meet up， 还有一些设计师呢，都是在 LinkedIn 上，你可以直接去这个主动的去邀请，然后对方能够和你有一个半小时到一小时的这个交流。那么很多人他会愿意做这样的一些回馈。那么我自己在当时求职的时候呢，是主动去这样去结识了很多人。那么后面呢，也有一些人会主动的来邀请我，能不能给他们分享一些意见。那么一样的，当时有人帮我，现在呢我去帮别人。所以这个呢是 community。当你这四项都准备充分了，其实你的工作机会的这个面呢会被很大程度的被放大。那么很多时候一些别人看不到的工作机会，一些没有想到的就会找到你。所以这四点呢是我的策略。但是在这四点之前呢，首先你要有一个自己要做什么，对自己的一个清晰的一个规划。那么那个是另外的一个话题。OK， 那么这些细节呢，我之后会专门做一个主题来进行分享。但在这一期节目里面呢，大家可以听一下当时现场我们做这个在线的这个 workshop 的一个录音回放，那么全英文的。在最后，在这个简介最后，我也想就是和你做一些互动。之后呢，我会专注生产一些英文的这个职业方面的、设计方面的和这个个人工作效率提升方面的一些内容。如果你对这种内容感兴趣，纯英文的内容啊，如果你对这方面内容，或者说国外职场和职业发展和自己的这个设计专业领域啊，然后工作效率效能方面这些话题感兴趣的话呢，那么请把你的邮件直接发给我，然后我会给你做一个标签。之后的话，我们有这个邮件列表创建起来的话呢，我会给你不定期的发这种英文的内容。感兴趣的话请留下你的邮件。那么可以直接写邮件到我的邮箱啊，我的邮箱呢是 bear@beartalking.com， bear@beartalking.com， 也可以通过在我的微信公众号后台留言的方式来留下你的邮箱。我的微信公众号呢是狗熊有话说。那么之前很多朋友可能已经留过你的邮箱了，但当时的预留的方式呢是针对这个中文的一些信息发布的，所以这次呢只是针对英文。如果你不想被狗熊的这些英文信息骚扰的话，你就不要再留了。 OK， 谢谢啊。那么这是这个啰嗦的前缀，之后呢我们就来具体收听这一期在线分享的现场录音。 Strategies of Career Transition Post COVID-19。
About last year what I did and a lot of photo findings, and then I find this photo. This is the last day on my previous job. I just packed, you can see a box I'm holding here, and that's all my things I packed in a box and leave my role, leave my previous company. And inside it feels like, okay, and so the new journey start. So it begins and I smiled a lot. And if I know that I would be jobless for 5 months, I would not smile like that. Yeah, because I think after 1 month after this photo, I reached to the moment I can call a highlight moment at this stage, but it is also like the bottom of my career. Like I don't have job, and I felt really panic at that moment. And also my daughter's pram was stolen by someone, and I cannot imagine like who needs a baby's pram. Yeah, so but it was stolen, and also a few of my sneakers were stolen too. and I was going to apply a subsidy in the work and income office. And at that moment, I remember I'm holding a form, like you need to fill a form to apply a subsidy, and then get some courses or just some trainings, and then you can apply that. And at that moment, I just stood in front of the work and income office for a while, and there's some inner voice asked myself, like, "What did you do here? What are you doing here?" And yeah, I'm applying a subsidy, and so the other voice, like, I just tried to tell the story in a dramatic way, but actually, I'm just stand there and thought, "Why I'm here? You know, is this, if I don't get this money, I would die, or I cannot survive in the next week?" Actually, it's not. I still got some money available for around 5 to 6 months to
Saving is
support me with
important.
my.
Good
Yeah,
point.
that's quite important. And it feels like if I apply a subsidy, that means I just surrounded by the environment and not believe in myself. So I just took it like, no, at this stage, just get out of here and try to focus on finding a job and really build yourself some plan, some strategy. So I think that's the bottom moment, but also the highlight moment for me. And yeah, and then this is some topic we can cover maybe later.
Yeah.
But I think the first step is all about the mindset, to create to prepare your mindset before your journey start. So this is one of my favorite game. It's about the person, it's about the character to start a new journey and to go to his goal. So for me, I think these are the it's more like a principle, more like principles, or more like mindset for myself. I keep reminding myself, like, first you need to know yourself. I think that's what Charles perfect at, you know, to teach people or to coach people how to know himself. But for me, I think at that moment it's about to know what I can, what the resource or what the limit for me. And as mentioned, at that time I have at least I have around 5 to 6 months that I can looking for jobs because I have money can support me at that moment. Not much, but just enough for 5 to 6 months of the whole family. And the other thing is about to know where you are. It's about I take a hyper-realistic review of my ability, my skill before this, and what I'm looking for. Because when I do some interviews in the beginning, I find I don't even understand what they are talking about. Some concept they are mentioned during the interview, I don't know what's that. So that's really embarrassed. But also, it's a great opportunity for me to find out, okay, I need to take a step back and do some research and plan what's the next step to do. And also the other thing is to clear your backpack. What I mean here is to find out the things you need to give up. That's really important because for me, Chao also mentioned that I used to host a podcast, create some content, write some blogs, but during that period, I just stopped all the things doesn't necessary or doesn't have any relationship between my job searching, between my career transitioning. I cut off all the hobby at the moment. Like podcasting is my one of my habit, but I just stopped doing that. Fully focused on the things I need to do for landing a new job. and also know the game. It's about to know what's the rules, what the principles. Like people mentioned here in New Zealand, local experience is critical. Yeah, it's not about the experience you have in other countries. You need to have a local experience here. So this is the how the game is here. So you need to know the games, and also to find your team. It's because you are not alone, and also to get your the last one is actually my strategy to get your sword ready. So the sword, what I mean is the strategy I have as the four pillars. Yeah, knowledge, portfolio, skill, and community. So the mindset are something within, but the other four things are the sword I have in my hand, so that I can start my journey. Yeah, so these are the strategy, which means the weapon I have to find a new job. So how I plan it, because I need to remind you guys that it's like a reflection. After that, I find out what specific steps I need to do. You cannot have a full plan in the beginning, because that will never happen, right? Because sometimes we think, okay, if I make a really detailed plan, I know what I'm going to do, where I'm going to go, and things will be perfect. But actually, it will never happen, and not for just us, even for some great companies or some really large organizations, even like FBA or CIA, when they plan some really great project, spend a lot of time on planning, but it always different. So my mindset is to have a roadmap, just point out some key things I need to do. For example, like this is the photos I took at around February last year. It's the things I need to focus, like these two things. This one probably you can't read it clearly. I just mentioned it's a portfolio goal, so I just write the sticky note mentioned this is the portfolio goal, and above that, all that is my object land my first UX job. So this is my object. I keep it visible above my desk, so I can remind myself every day. And portfolio, project, these are all the things about portfolio, and these are the connect with 10 local designers, I think. Yeah, this is the about community, and this is about skill is what I need to do, and this is the knowledge I need to have. So and below that is some sub goals I need to complete, like take a course to learn some skill, to learn some knowledge, or reach out for 5 designers on LinkedIn this week, so next week I can have at least one in-person meeting with one guy can give me some advice, things like that. I just made some plans, but not just a roughly plan. And so my principle at that time is to be really realistic, because at that time I was a full-time dad. But luckily that my daughter will go to, she goes to the daycare during the day from 8 to 5, which means during this period, it's my available time, which is a lot. And after that, I need to, like a lot of housework and prepare dinners, prepare meals. So this is all the things I need to spend time. And I need to be really realistic about the resource I have every day, and how many time and energy I can invest on different subject. and also staying focused. Do research. This is really critical. So you need to know what you need to know at first. If you don't, how do you be clear about what you need to know? It's a tricky question, but it's also maybe the hardest one because a lot of people don't know exactly what they need to learn at first or who they're going to meet at first. So I put it as a big piece to do research. And also sometimes it's all even one of my goal to do research about the subject and let it go and be minimalism. So be a minimalist about things, just really focus on the things. But to be mentioned that only during the that time I was I don't have a job at the moment, so I need to really stay in focus to concentrate. But for you guys, probably it's just something we need to start to think at this stage, or you might have the similar experience as me to looking for a new job. So that's could be related. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
So
are you done? Okay. I really appreciate that you're sharing all of those details with us today. And I can see that you're, as a designer, you're absolutely using a lot of agile approach as well as the design thinking in your job hunting journey, haven't you? And still want to come back to the question that Sophia just raised. I think Sophia's been waiting for a while. Like, we really wanted to know to what extent that you actually have to prepare yourself so you can stand out, you know, in the local company's job interview.
sorry to interrupt.
Sorry
for interrupt a little bit. Because there's very, very critical background and before we go ahead with this question, because I just like to know whether the Liz Mills job is your first UI job or is your second one. Because the transition is very different one. You are slightly adjust your direction. You know, from my personal experience, no matter you're networking with the HR from the potential employer or networking with the people from the job agencies, they really value your exact the same experience. I mean, not the transition one. So that's my first question. So that is the starting point. And from that time, after that, I like to know, I know Liz Mills is a very big company and in New Zealand. I guess you may experience a lot of candidates and try to compete for the same job. You know, my personal experience here in New Zealand for a decent company normally got at least 100 plus. That's very conservative way. Most of the time, maybe 200 plus into maybe 300 or 400 candidates. That means online application. That means the HR person in that company, they have to, you know, just filter in the CVs and no matter from the SIG platform or no matter from the job agencies, you know, how can you make yourself stand out?
And so can I just quickly summarize your question a little bit? So you raised two questions. The first one is asking Bea, is this your first UX designer job that you're applying in New Zealand, or you actually had a very similar job experience before in New Zealand? And the second question is, what makes you different to compete in such a competitive labor market? Is that your question?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Bea, are you ready to answer this?
The first one, yes, it is my first UX role here in New Zealand. Mm. And before that, I don't have employed by a local company as a UX designer. So it's actually my first one.
You were doing marketing before, like mainly marketing stuff.
And then you changed to
UX
marketing,
designer.
Right, yeah. So before that, I used to do a lot of marketing, content creating jobs, a job, and also as a graphic or web designer in my previous role here in New Zealand. Yeah, so working at Les Mills is my first UX role here. And
so
the second question is about how to make me stand out.
Yeah, and also Judy asked, what do you think is the point of your difference? I think that's a question many people are very curious at the moment.
I think It's about, because you know, it's really hard to say if you are the player, and also you need to
observe yourself.
what make them make the decision. And I do have a quick chat about with my manager at that time. And my manager, he said that during that time, he can see that what was my thinking behind the design decisions during the interview. And he knows that, like, I have some weakness, like English is my native language, and I don't have a previous experience as a UX designer. But he sees my portfolio and one of my case I created from scratch. So this could be a critical thing, because at that time I was struggled by not having any local experience as a UX designer.
Mm.
And then I talked to a really good designer about the same question. I asked him the same questions. How can I get a job without any local experience? And before that, I have some previous experience as a product designer, but that's only in China. I don't have experience here in New Zealand. So he gave me a really great advice, and maybe that's the critical thing helped me to land my job. It's about to, if you don't have experience, then start to create a project by yourself, you know? Because I don't know for other field, but for design, sometimes we can be along the product design journey from the beginning, from the ideating to even the nearly finished part. And for me, I started to create my own project from scratch, from marketing analyze and business case, not business case, just business research, customers research concept, user testing. Yeah, all the things I start from to do that one step by one, and really didn't skip any steps. And after that, I created a fake product. Actually, it's a product that almost finished. I just need a partner programmer to make it become a real product, because I don't know how to code. But all the user interface, all the design, all the things, all the introductions are finished at that moment. It's not perfect. Definitely it's not perfect. But I think that's the thing that made my manager think, okay, he knows shit. He knows how to make things become real. And also he can answer all the critical questions I ask. Because I think that's maybe one thing raised the curiosity, is they're curious about, okay, seems this one is really interesting. Let's meet him and ask him some questions and to see if he's capable of doing the things we need to do. So I think, for the question, probably that's the reason.
Yeah, I think I by hearing,
exactly what's the, yeah.
But I think by hearing your story, it's very obvious to me, you know, from an observer's point of view. I think you mentioned two very good points. One is actually, if you don't have any related experience, then go and create your own related experience. You can kind of design a project by yourself, you know, you can kind of create something virtual on your own. And then the second thing is to actually record how you actually create all those stuff and build your portfolio. And both points are actually using your initiatives to show people, you know what, like, I know that shit. You know what, I can actually do that job. You know what, this is my ability. This is what I can do for you. And then if I actually give you a website or a portfolio, here's what I've done before with my photo, with my multimedia, with all that jazz I've done before. So it's very easy for the readers, for the HR managers to see what this person is capable of. So again, we've mentioned about one is to explore internally, the other one is to actually you have to express externally about your ability and your capacity at that moment. And I can certainly see from the HR's perspective, they can see that you're actually very creative, very smart, that you don't have any local Kiwi exactly the same experience, but you, first of all, you're very courageous, you're able to take the transition. Secondly, you are very proactive. You take the initiative to actually do something about it. And thirdly, you are a fast learner because even you don't have that experience, you can actually navigate through the journey and learn things quickly. So with all that stuff combined together, I'm not surprised that it makes you an outstanding candidate in that interview. Hope that makes sense. Right.
Sorry, can I ask this further?
Sophia, we probably have to. Sorry, Sophia.
Questions.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Probably we need to move on to the next topic. If you have any questions, can we just wait for the next round of Q&A?
Yeah, no worries. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, just hold that question, Hold the question. Yeah. And now we actually explore the journey that you have done so much before you actually went to the interview. So it sounds like, you know, it's really easy. You applied online and then blah, blah, you get the job. But we all know that you have put so much effort. And then I think that you also mentioned you were kind of networking in like designers meetup group before, like try to build a community and build a confidence. And you got kind of like a project support or something like that. Do you want to just share a bit more about that as well?
I mean, meetups, local communities.
Yeah, I think before you landed the job, you also had kind of like a little experience, starting have little contract experience in UX design, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. For that, like around April, like last year at this during this month, I got a 2 weeks contract as a UX designer in a local agency.
How did
and
that happen?
Also, that's just recruited by recommended by local recruiters.
All right. So your network in the recruitment agency actually starts working and giving you feedback now.
Yeah, but I need to mention that it always takes a longer time than we thought, because like normally, especially here in New Zealand, like if you are looking for something, and normally it takes 1 or 2 months to get all the interviews. But for that contract, it happens really fast, because at the beginning I started to reach out for local recruiters in January and February, and there's no responses for a long time. But then around March, there are some first round interviews with the recruiters, and that's a great prep. Those are great practices. And after that, like around April, I got a 2 weeks contract, which is great job that I can build my confidence that, I can get
a portfolio as well.
Right. So that's, but yeah, that's a great step during that stage.
Yeah, I think that's also really realistic to share with people who are actually going through the career transition. Sometimes career transition doesn't happen like that, like all in one go. It comes with little baby steps or incremental progresses. Sometimes when you're doing a career transition, you actually get a like small contract to start with, like 1 or 2 months, and then later on you can kind of include that into your portfolio on your CV, and then you keep moving on until after about 5 months you actually get a full-time job in Les Mills. And that's also a wonderful little nice story that I want to share with the community. Yeah. And there's a question from the community now. I think how to demonstrate your skills listed on your CV is crucial. Like what Bear did was create a project all by himself that will give employees a better idea that you really do have those skills. Yes, absolutely. So it's everybody can talk, but how can you prove that you actually know that jazz? And that's what exactly Bear did. And also now I'm quite curious in your 5 months of, you know, jobless time. And then I know you actually have a family in Auckland. And because we all come from Asian society, it's, I don't know about others, but in my traditional mindset, you know, maybe it could be quite a daunting experience. Or like, is there any pressure for you during that time that as a main supporter of the family that you didn't actually kind of, you know, have job for 5 months? And how did you manage that? And did you have any stress? Let's start with that.
Stress, yes. And I think stress is always there, right? If you are employed by some companies, there will always be stress as well.
But that's,
I think,
very
at
true.
That moment, yeah, at that moment, it's more about how you can really focus on the things and really make progress, and also what's the mindset for different experience. For example, at the beginning, I just traded, to the interview, I didn't go further as a failure. So at the beginning, mm-hmm. I just think, okay, I failed another interview. But then I just start to think about the same thing in a different perspective, because I learned something from this one. I didn't lose anything. So
there's no failure, so there's always learning.
Yeah, so it's built my confidence. And if you have the confidence about yourself, it can influence the people around you, like your family. And if you show that you're really, you know, panic and you're really worried about things, and you really believe that you don't have belief in your heart, and people will feel it. And for me, at
the
moment,
energy.
I just start, yeah, and I just started to be realistic about myself, about the things I can do. And also, if I feel I don't have the motivation, or I started to think, am I not as good as those guys? And I start to lose my confidence. I will reach out to have some talk with some other people, other designers, and always there will be something there will be inspiration I can get, or motivation I can get from others. For example, I met a young designer who also a UX designer in a local agency, and he told me that he when during his job searching field time, he just do some Google research to find 30 local design agencies, and he pointed all his portfolios and started to go to those agencies one by one, knock their doors and ask, can I have a job interview with your HR manager or
wow.
with your art director? Just really bold to do that. And after that, after talking with that boy, okay, he's really young, he's just graduated at the moment, but I start to think to myself, what can you do? I ask myself, yeah, if he can do that, why cannot you to do the same thing? Yeah, so what's a blocker for you? And I think at the moment it's all about mindset, so I start to think things in a different way, right? So
I really love how you shared about it. You know, like as you mentioned, you had a lot of pressure on, but still, from what you have just showed us, you know, all those four big pillars, and every day you're actually using design thinking and agile approach to keep rolling on. It's very easy for people to feel frustrated or to feel like, oh, I'm not good enough. And, you know, English is not my first language. I don't have local Kiwi experience. La, 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 la. All that thoughts, all that in the talk in your mind. And do you want to share with us a little bit more? Like, how do you actually change your inner dialogue at the time? Or what was your inner dialogue? because many people get caught up by those limiting beliefs. Like so many clients come to me, they say, English is not my first language. I'm not good enough. I'm competing with Kiwis, la, 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 la. Like if we can actually label them as limiting beliefs, how did you actually identify those and then kind of transform the inner conversation?
I think for me, it's every time when I find some similar things like limiting beliefs, I start to analyze it in details and start to think about I started to ask why and what if. For example, like English is my native language. That's a really big weakness and sometimes make me speak really slow, right? So I talk to a local designer and I find he speaks really slow sometimes, but his logic behind what he wants to say is really clear. It's really rational. I can feel the logic behind what he's going to speak or what he's talking. So I start to think, right, who said I need to speak as fast as local, like local Kiwis? Because sometimes we do know that communication is about to deliver a message, to deliver the right message. And how might I to deliver the right message if I speak really slow? And I start to think, maybe I can write more emails. I can improve my writing. I can deliver the message. For example, like after every interview, I always write the email, a thank you email, as
lovely
as a summary or to ask if you are not clear about the question asked or about my answer. So here's a few things I think I might need to mention, things like that, because I think that can improve can improve my communication. So things like that, I think if you dig deeper, you can always ask why and what if and how might I improve it in different ways. Because we're not alone. We're not the only one speak a second language here, right? So there are other people. There are some people from not just from Asian countries, from other countries. They can use it as a tool to communicate. So why can't we use it as the same tool? So just for me, I think that's just take a step back and analyze it and find out the things I can improve and take a small step one by one to improve it. Like
absolutely. Yeah. I think it's really important to actually ask yourself, okay, I have all these talks in my head. How true are they? First of all, you can identify. And is there any evidence that can prove them wrong? And then even they sounded so true, seem so realistic to you. Is that mindset actually serving me, helping me to go to where I want to go? You know, if I keep thinking I'm not good enough, I can't speak the language as good as Kiwis, I can't do this, I'm competing with all that. You know, how is that helping you to actually find the job that you want to look for? And if you really feel like this is your weakness, as Bea mentioned, first of all, you can work around it. Maybe there are some alternatives to keep showing your strength and your abilities. Another way is maybe you should improve your English. As simple as that. You can't control how other people judge you or what they think about you, but you can always control how you think about yourself and what you can do about it, isn't it? All right, I think we still have a little bit of time and I would like to leave this 10 minutes to the community. And I know I really appreciate that Bea has shared so much of his insights and his journey and his philosophy with us today. And then based on our discussion today, is there any other questions that you want to ask? Oh, Damon.
Oh, yo. Thanks for Bea for the sharing, and also for thanks you, for hosting this event.
No worries.
It's amazing stuff here. So my question will be like, because I think I posted on the chat, like, because we all know, let's say we see like LinkedIn invitation or like email, blah blah blah. But I reckon like what's most important actually is like how you maintain it. Like, let's say you reach out and then was, so does everyone. Like, everyone's trying to reach out. But how can you be recognized and remembered by those connections, you know? Like, just like trying to be efficient, you know?
So you're, can I just kind of rephrase your question to make sure that I understand your question correctly? So are you asking, like, everyone's doing the same thing, you know, build a portfolio or, you know, like go to LinkedIn and network and all that stuff. How can you actually make people remember you and actually create the opportunity for yourself? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Bea, do you want to say something about it?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, Damon. Yeah. The first step, I think there are always two steps. The first step is to get all the things to standing, to as the same as to be at the same standard, right? Like we do have LinkedIn or other social platforms and keep active. This is the basic. But the next step is about to stand out. So this is really different by different scenarios or by people case by case. But for me, I think a really important skill or the thinking is to connecting the dots. Like you can always find some clues or some useful informations during the process, and then you find, okay, this is probably something I can use, or I can talk, or something could be help me. So why don't I just give it a try? For example, I find my I read a book about UX last year, and which is a really cool book I read. And then I started to think, okay, this book is great. I need to share something about what I feel about reading the book. I read and I share my comment, share my book review in social. And just by accident, I tapped the writer, because he's also, I can find him on LinkedIn, so I just at him. And then he gave me a reply, really, thank you for me to write some nice word and for the book review, that's great. And then I found he also took interviews with other podcasts, and he's in UK, and I just asked him by, yeah, just like first impulse, are you available for a few minutes to do a podcast interview, or just to share of your story about writing this book, or your opinions, things like that, because I'm quite interesting. I do have some questions. And he said, yeah, why not? And just give me the opportunity to do that. And after that, I share this podcast on my social media platform, social media network. And of course, other UX designers can see that. Other designers can see that. And they gave me comments about things. So it's more like a chain reaction. But the thing is to find the dots, find the connection of the dots, and start to think, yeah, how about if I do this? And what's the next step will be? But normally you can't think too many steps ahead. Just start to think, okay, maybe I can connect those dots. But who knows? Who knows next? Maybe something magic will happen, but we don't know yet. So I think just try to be further and be proactive is really, really critical. So normally we just wait for, like, all right, I send a CV and waiting for a reply. So this is a really basic, really
traditional
mode.
Yeah, traditional way of looking for jobs. Yeah.
But how about we do it like proactively to ask something or to reach out? Yeah, I think that could be like a mindset. If you have that mindset, like be proactive and always think, is there anything I can do further, like a further step? Yeah, just do that. Yeah, could be yeah, could be a lot of opportunities waiting in front of you.
Yeah, I would like to absolutely agree with every single word that Bia said. And also, I would like to add a bit more about that. When everyone's, you know, knocking on the doors or making cold calls, they're all like busy reaching out on LinkedIn. How can you actually stand out and be different? Actually, to be honest, I think it's a matter of suitability and suitability. Like when you're actually trying so hard to reach out, and then the ultimate thing is, can you actually solve the other person's problem? If you can't, regardless how proactive you are, it's useless because you can't solve people's problem. And then from that aspect, probably we need to explore inner or build your portfolio or build your skill set a bit more to make sure you actually understand the other person's needs. So that requires one skill set. Two is empathy and sympathy. Are you actually asking the right question? Are you actually tackling the right problem of that person? And can you express how you can solve the other person's problem? So I think that's really important. The second thing is what Bia just mentioned. There is no traffic on extra mile. Actually, I learned this sentence from Deborah, you know, kudos to Deborah when she was running a career workshop before, and I learned that from her. Indeed, when other people are all busy applying on LinkedIn or you know, at CV and stuff like that, if you're like Bear actually has a whole portfolio of his artwork and design, and he has a whole like over 100 series of podcasts, and he has over 100 different types of design that he has done before. If you can actually gather the evidence, it's hard not to stand out in that interview. And then the third thing, I also want to echo what Bia said, you know, take every opportunity as a learning opportunity. When you go out and network, it's not about what can I get from you. It's about how can I serve you? How can I help you? What can I do for you? And then in that sense, how you raise questions, how you network, the energy completely changes. And the other person won't feel like threatened or like I need to give you a job, or do I need to evaluate you as a candidate, or, you know, what is it going on here right now? Oh, you know, I'm scared, I want to run away. Like if you're an employer, sometimes you do feel like a bit annoyed or like scared by people who are too aggressive and coming knocking on your door and, you know, try to have a coffee chat. So it's more about changing your networking mindset from I need a job from you to how can I better serve you? What's your problem right now? How can I help you? That's another thing I really want to stress. And then the last but not the least is, I think, again, it's about what I just mentioned. When you actually go out and actively network and there's no response from the other person, or people really tell you, sorry, you know, we don't have job openings, or we don't think that you are suitable for this, don't take it as a failure. Don't think, oh, I'm not good enough. It's not because you're not good enough. It's because you're not matching each other yet. It's like dating a girl. You can't just see a girl for one time. You're like, I want to marry you. But it never works that way. You need to kind of tease out and kind of see each other and understand each other's needs. Make sure you have the same core values and you're on the same pace. You meet each other's needs. And then after that, you can talk about further, you know, whether dating or engagement or get married. It's exactly the same when it comes to looking for jobs. Like whether you match each other or not, if the other person actually says no to you, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's really not suitable for you, at least not for now. And you should really appreciate that you're not wasting your time to keep pursuing something that it's not suitable for you. So I'm not sure whether what I said makes sense to you, but yeah, that's just my two cents of advice.
That's great answer.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That's a great call, Chao and Damon. And also I have, one example that can support Chao about create value for the people you're going to meet or for the people. Is that like everyone else, I used to do a lot of like professional conference. Sometimes I join some professional conference and listen to some great speakers share their experience. And a few times I just sit in the first row of the seat and take some photos of the speaker, because they are sharing their insights on the stage, but they can't take selfie for themselves, right? So I just take some really nice photos. You don't need to do it with a professional camera, just do it with your mobile, that's enough. And I just took some very good photos, and after that, share what I've learned from that speech, and share the photo to the guy, to the speaker, and always they will feel, wow, that's so good that you took so photos for me, and I can use that in later. So thank you very much. Yeah, it's just something really good to think in a different way, and it's not about what you can take from them, it's about what you can give in return, and that's the first step, I think. Yeah, that's great. And also probably I can move to some other questions, but
I'm fully aware of the time. It's about 3:30 now, so I know that we promised this seminar to be 90 minutes, so if any of you actually have any other things to do, feel free to leave. That's not a problem at all, and I appreciate your participation. But if you actually would like to stay for another 15 to 20 minutes or so, then I'm not sure. Bea, are you happy to stay for another 15 to 20 minutes?
Yeah, sure.
To answer some questions. Yeah. Great. Awesome. All right. So any other questions from the community?
Yeah.
Oh, Sophia. Hi.
Actually, my question, it seems very adventurous, but very basic. It's not yes or no, but just like to the basics.
What's your question?
Yeah. So still, regarding your current job, how did you just send your CV online, and then you just get straight away the job interview? I mean, the first round interview. This is my first question. Okay. The second one is, after you were on board in this company, did you get to dig out the reason behind how many, for example, how many candidates actually at that time competing the same job as you, and why finally, and what about the three or four shortlisted persons? Are they all local kiddies, or, I wonder, I'm not sure what your job is, because they have a dedicated, they think you are bilingual, and Los Mills actually in Oakland, they know we have very big Chinese community here. They may potentially think about, okay, I find a Chinese and UX designer, and I can, work around between the European Kiwi and the Chinese community as well. Yeah, that's my question. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Sophia. The first one, yes, I do send it via an email, applying a job application email at first to get it through. But to be mentioned that in the email, I included my portfolio link, and in that link, I have a video, a self-introduction video, like this one I'm talking to the camera. I just edited a really quick and easy video to introduce myself and what I'm capable at, and have my case studies and things like that. I think that could be, and also, of course, cover letter and CV, that's critical to have. So I think that's the first thing probably the HR managers will notice. And I do find that after that, a few days later when I applied the job, some people from Les Mills stopped to check my LinkedIn profile. So that's could be a good thing for you guys to know. Get it prepared before you send in the job application, because people will check that, because it's all public, right? And the second one is that how many people actually applying that job at the moment? Unfortunately, I didn't ask my manager about that, because I didn't ask too many details about how many people competing for me with me about the role. Don't want to talk too much with my manager about that to make him feel like,
it's kind of weird, isn't it? After you got a job, how many people you actually choose me from?
it's like when you're in a relationship, like you ask the girl, like, why do you love me? Why do you choose me? Like,
exactly.
It's not, Yeah, it feels like maybe you're not a confident guy, right? So I didn't ask the details, but I do ask the other quote you asked, like the third question you asked is a great question, because it's about, as a bilingual designer, and does that helpful? For my case, no, it's not help my current role, because when I work at Les Mills Media, the market, like we do have a China market, but it's was operated by a China team specifically just for China market, because we do know that China market is totally different from any other markets of all the world. So they have their own tech team supporting and all the, even some strategies are different from here. So my role doesn't involve any China specific task, and even communication at this stage with China team, I don't have direct direct connection with China team. So that's not relevant for my current role. But before that, like my previous role is definitely one of the key factor for me to get my first role. Yeah, I think that's, and I do find that to make it one step further, it's really helpful to have different different way of thinking, because as a bilingual speaker, sometimes we can understand like from other culture how things operate. Like we have Japan market. And sometimes I do find we can, as a Chinese, I can easily understand.
Yeah.
Japanese, yeah. They always feel like social distance for them is not a thing. They already have a social distance, and they really respect other people's privacy, things like that. And also, things like the cultural understanding as a Chinese to understand those markets are quite easy, but sometimes it's not as easy for other Kiwis to understand that. But I think that's could be case by case. It's not just by specific scenario. It's not essential. Right.
Thank you so much, Barrett. So basically, I mean that you try to make up yourself. And just like a girl, you know, before dating and try to attract someone, you make up a lot and it's really amazing. And then you attract some people's eyes and stand out first. And then when the other guys begin to feel interested in you and they try to sneakily check a little bit from your LinkedIn, and then that the game began from there.
That's a very good metaphor.
Yeah, that's a great metaphor, because it's also like, it's a great metaphor for CV as well, because a lot of people think if you prepare a CV, prepare a cover letter, can help you get a job. Wrong. It's CV cannot get you a job. CV just get you an interview. CV just to arouse the curiosity,
interest,
other people's interest. They're like, wow, this guy is really interesting. I want to talk to him. So it just give them the to push you to the next step, and just do it step by step. So that's basically what I'm doing.
Also, I would also like to add on what Bea just shared, and I'm not sure what makes Sophia so curious and interested about the number of candidates as well as the bilingual cultural background. I just want to share my personal story. When I actually worked for the New Zealand's Innovation Agency at that time, I also just applied on SEEK, and then at that time, and because it's a local government agency, and then they need someone to actually help them with their marketing and event management. And during that time, I also had a limiting belief like, you know what, I'm new to this country, only 3-4 years in, and I'm a Chinese, they need, that role actually requires a lot of English, like communication and content writing and all this stuff. And it actually has nothing to do with any Chinese and whatsoever. But I really feel like my skill set fits that role very well at that time. So there was certainly a limiting belief kind of holding me back. It's like, would I actually consider a Chinese person to work for a New Zealand local agency and work on their marketing campaign, which is targeting the Kiwi companies? You know, I couldn't think of any Chinese flavor in that role at that time. But because I told myself, you know what, whether they pick me or not is their job, but whether I apply or not is my responsibility. So you know what, I'm just gonna apply anyway. And if they pick me, wonderful. If they don't, you know, I'll just move on, whatever. And then I actually applied online and they called me for an interview. I went there, of course, I was well prepared. I actually created a portfolio on my iPad with demonstrating all my past projects, campaigns, events that I've run. So at the end, they actually hired me. And I was very surprised, to be honest. And then many people, they ask me, say, oh, actually, are you actually looking after the international Chinese market and whatsoever in that agency? I'm like, no, there's not a single flavor about Chinese in that role. So also I realized that in my coaching practice, some of my clients, they came to me and they will also raise the same question, like, oh, can I only do, like, should I only focus on Chinese market or should I only do this and that? Like, there's nothing that you should. Whatever you name it as a should, it's actually a core value or it's a concept that you built into your brain to yourself. If you actually take that thought out and actually examine it and you search for other people who can break that rule, I'm sure you will find someone who doesn't fit that criteria, who actually can do something extraordinary and outside of the box. So what I'm trying to say is really regardless where you come from, like what language you speak and all that stuff, really believing in yourself. First, what do you want to do? And second, you just need to focus how you want to get there. And don't focus too much on how other people think about you, how other people see you. But it's all about what you want and how you get there, how you add value to people at the same time, and then you get what you want. That's again my two cents. All right, so any other questions? Probably we have time for the last one.
Can I ask you a question there?
Sure, go for it.
Much for your sharing. I don't know if my question has been covered before. My situation is like that. Now I want to do something different, but I'm just not very sure, like what to do, like in which direction or what kind of field. Yeah. So do you have any suggestion or experience about how to choose the right path for yourself?
Hi, Ying. Sorry, yeah. Just to interrupt a little bit. I suggest you go to a personal one-on-one from Chiao. That's exactly her career coaching content or career coaching stuff. Yeah.
Okay. That's my area of expertise. And I can answer you for sure. Yes, there are tools and tips and strategies could help you to know yourself and explore
awesome.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, just connect with me and we can chat that.
Talk to Chiao. Yeah.
Thank you.
And I do think that's a common question. That everyone have that stage, not knowing what's the right direction for you and where am I going? So where am I going to go? So Chiao did a great job, in this field as a specialties, her specialties about to help people find
yourself
the right direction, yeah, to know yourself. So yeah, do have some one-on-one chat with her, and also like you can also review about your previous experience or does anything make you feel really want to do or things like that. Yeah, probably just talk to Chiao first as a first step. It will be really helpful. Yeah,
right, that saves us some time for one more question.
Can we just get Bia's podcast link or something?
Yeah. I think it was already shared in that chat.
Yeah, I shared it.
Sorry.
Yeah, someone just shared it. Right, one last question. Hi, Aria. Hi.
I'm just wondering, do you think there is a different mindset for people in different age? Like, do you have any tips or suggestions for people in their 20s, like being young professionals? Like, what would you say to yourself in your 20s? Like, like when they just graduated and get their first job, and do you have any like things you would like to say to yourself in your 20s?
In terms of what? Yeah, like dating or job?
No, your job, like career.
I love both.
Career.
Oh, you know, that's wonderful.
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, because definitely we have some struggles in different stage, like in different age, different struggles. For me, as a tip or as a few tips, the first thing I do think is to remind yourself the things, the problem or the issues you have at this stage, you are not having that alone by yourself. You are not alone because other people have the same issues, or like some people seems really successful from your perspective, like some really successful people, they have their early stage, they have their struggles, they have their problems at that moment. So don't be afraid. So yeah, you're not alone by yourself, and you can go through it. So
you need to have the encouragement.
Yeah, and also the other thing is to, if I am going to give myself some advice to my 20s, I think it's to do to experience more, to have more different experience, because there will be finally they will count. It's all that they are all count. Like even you think it's maybe useless at those moments, or maybe not help you a lot, some different experience, just experience a lot. And finally, did you remember we mentioned connecting the dots? Because finally you might connect those dots in a beautiful picture later, but you don't know that yet. Because one tip I can share, it's based on my story. When I interview my current role at Les Mills, when my manager asked some specific question about design, and because I just read a book about UX design, and I just share like, yeah, I think that could be a good way to do that, and I just quote from that book, and also mentioned that book was written by a famous UX opinion leader.
Mm.
And seems like my manager, he also read that book, and he also highly recommend that book. So it feels like during that period, I think it's not, maybe not important to read the book for landing a job, right? Because it seems not a priority. But after that, when I took a review for my job interview, I find it's one of the critical things I did to help me get the role, because it shows that we have the basic understanding, we have the same understanding about that field. So all the things count at last, but it's just you don't know that yet at that moment. So don't be afraid to try some new things or experience some different.
So it's always good to have different experience, whether in different areas.
Yeah.
And I missed most of part in the beginning, so I just wanna ask one a little bit thing. Do you have other like pathway you thought about before you transferred your career to UX design? Like I heard you from graphic design background or something. Do you have other career path you thought about besides UX design? I mean, maybe it could go with like being a freelance graphic designer or a web designer or developer or other stuff. Is that easy for you to make that decision to be a UX designer?
Sounds like a typical self-exploration question,
yeah,
isn't
it's
it?
It's not easy. Yeah, definitely not easy. Before that, I do have a decision-making, tough decision-making process. Because as mentioned, I used to be a marketing specialist in my previous role, and it do have some it is also fun, and the other part, and it do have some potential possibility in the future. And if I focus on that field, and the other one is design. And design, there are a lot of different areas like UX, graphic, interaction, things like that, different, and UI. Yeah. So I started to analyze like two major subject, design or marketing. So I keep asking something, and as a traditional way, I made a list. So like the pros and cons for different and still I cannot make the decision. So I talked to different people, and I also got different opinions. Like some people encouraged me to do some marketing, and some people just encouraged me to, yeah, you can focus on design. And I think that's could be probably you can also talk to Chow about that, yeah, to find out the right direction and to help you. But as a reminder, we have to make our decision by ourselves, not by any others, not according to any other, your parent, your teacher, or your coach. No, they just help you to clear the necessary things you need to know about the decision making. And also for me as a UX designer, I think also there are some other paths could be happen in the future. I don't know that yet. Yeah, maybe I can do freelancer or a contractor a few years later, or just like a digital nomad to work somewhere else, not just always sitting in the office. Yeah, things like that. But it could be another path. Now I just focus on the current career circle and to build my skill, like to sharpen my sword, all the things I need to have, and then I can start a new journey in the future. But now currently it's to get prepared before that.
Mm. Well cool, said, cool. Well said. It's always a journey, isn't it? Like for career transition, and it's like ongoing journey. Like now you're ex-designer, maybe in the future will change to something else. And it's nice to get some advice or to ask for information from others. But at the end, as you said, we still need to make decision on our own, because you want to build a life that you enjoy, not someone else think what the life should be. So, and also I think probably in the future we can share something more about this, because Aria raised a very good point. How do you actually use design thinking, like, you know, prototyping? How do you actually try things out with a minimum cost or time and money or resource cost to actually test your ideas and make sure that's the pathway that you want, not something you dream of, but when you actually do it, you hate it. Right? So I think that's very good points. That's something we can cover in the future as well. So I actually wanted to ask Billy one last little question, if you community that doesn't mind. And it's, you know, you talk about 5 months being stressed out and having a tough journey of looking for career transition. What's the one thing that you would do differently right now if you actually look back?
That's a great question. Because for me, I believe my strategy it still works. And also the things I did during that period is correct and it works. If I do it again, probably I would change the priority or change the steps. Like during that time, I do a lot of skills learning and knowledge preparing before I reach out. But at the beginning, I didn't share a lot or reach out a lot to other designers or other professionals to ask for information or help or support. Actually, just ask for some more information or motivation. But if I'm going to do that again, I will start to do the networking at the first step. Because there is a general stereotype, like if you are going to reach out, you need to prepare, like get all the things prepared, get all the all the all your portfolio, all the things prepared so that you can network. But actually, you can do that in the middle of the process. Yeah, you don't need to show the whole picture, right? So you can always ask for some help or ask some questions during the process. Like for example, like Yang Yi, you asked the question, how can I got the direction to be clear about my direction? So that normally in the early stage, right? But that also means that you can reach out. You can reach out for Chao or other professionals or me or other people, ask them their advice and do some research. So for me, I will, if I'm going to do that again, I will change the priority and make it shorter than 5 months. Yeah, that's probably.
I think also you last time when we talked about it, you also mentioned that you'll probably start, you know, building your portfolio and start doing all the prep work slightly earlier because you knew that something was changing at your previous job, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. That's necessary to
start
building that. Yes, as early as possible.
Yeah, plan early and be agile and work like adjust along the way, not like having a fixed goal and like I must get there by step 1, 2, 3, 4 because there are so many things might change during your career transition journey, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Wonderful. All right. I think that's coming to the end of our session today. I really appreciate all of your patience and staying till the end. And Bear and I had a great time. At least I had a great time. I'm not sure about you, Bear.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so yeah, at the end, I will actually send out a survey link for this event. I really, really appreciate if you can fill out the survey that's giving us a bit of feedback also to design for our next events, you know, what kind of topics you guys are interested in and any other feedback of this event. We'll be really curious and keen to know. And feel free to connect with me and Bear on LinkedIn or, you know, any other things that we any other ways that we have shared on chat before. But I will also send out how to connect with us in the email as well. So you guys will probably, you know, be more clear about that. Anything else you want to say before we leave the meeting today, Bear, to the community?
No, because that's all I need to, yeah, but yeah, probably I can share the how to find us at the live and on the screen. So that could be something here. Yeah.
No worries. I will actually copy paste that later on into our email, post event email.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, guys. That's really, really a great event. Yeah, I really appreciate that you spent nearly 2 hours here.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's a long time.
Thank
I really
you
appreciate
very
that.
Much.
Hope you
that's
have
a lot of fun.
Helpful.
Thank you so much. Let's stay connected. See ya.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Bye.